Tonight's class begins the start of a new quarter. And, excuse me, again, I'm dealing with some sinus issues, so forgive me. But it is a class that is based on this book from the Guardian of Truth, and it's titled, What is the Christian Life? And we're going to look at the Christian life in very in-depth ways. And some of the things that we're going to look at in this quarter, just going down the table of contents in this book, the value of being a Christian, a changed life, a life of faith, love, sacrifice, service, purity, hope, joy, peace, and suffering. We're going to look at each one of these in very in-depth ways, but I want this to be very practical. And I want us to look at these things in the Word of God and see how these really impact our lives every day. It is as those in the first century and those throughout the Bible wanted to do, which is look at the Word of God and see how it impacts my life. How can I live day by day with these things that God has placed upon me, not only by way of commandment, by way of inference as well. So I struggled with debating with myself whether or not I was going to teach lesson one or jump straight to lesson two. Lesson two is how to become a Christian. And lesson one is talking about the value of being a Christian. And I started out preparing to just go along with the book. But I must tell you, I'm not very good with books. I kind of like to put my own lessons together. But we'll stick to the plan as much as I can in the book, but we will deviate from the book at times, a lot of times. But on my way here, I gave some serious thought to this, and I have decided that tonight we'll start this class on how to become a Christian. And I understand that the vast majority, if not everyone in here, is a Christian. But it may be that one person that is either in this assembly or listening over the internet or may order the DVD or CD to this class. And we want to have an opportunity of every opportunity that we have to teach someone the gospel and tell that person what they need to do in order to be saved as it relates to the scriptures. And that is why one of the reasons why I decided to go ahead and teach this class tonight. And the second reason is we've been given that great commission to go out into the world and to teach others about salvation and talk to them about what it takes in order to be saved. And yet, some of us are not very comfortable in expressing and communicating those things about salvation for whatever reason. And I think that it is a lesson that is quite necessary sometimes in order for us to kind of refocus and take a step back and look at ourselves and see what are we doing by way of example and by way of communication relating those things to people that they need to do in order to be saved. So bear with me. I know that you understand this, but just look at it this way. This is the most important conversation that we can have with anybody, because this is, in fact, being a Christian, the best and most rewarding life that one can live. And we need to be able to communicate that to people, because we never know when that opportunity will not exist anymore. And if a person has the courage to ask us the question about salvation, I think you would all agree with me that is a very noble and important question, and it is definitely deserving of an answer. So, how to become a Christian? We hear it all the time in faithful congregations of the Lord's church. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That will get you into the church. What I want us to do is to look at each one of those. And again, this book, I'm going to go to some of it. I've gone through it, and it's written very well, and it is scripturally sound. And there are some great writings in here that we'll refer to. But for the most part, I want us to look at God's plan of salvation as he gave it to us in a very simplistic way. That word hearing, what is involved in hearing? Say it again.
Your attitude.
Your attitude. Okay. How does a person's attitude factor into being able to hear? Now we're talking about hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. How does a person's attitude factor into that?
A lot of times I know the answer before you've asked the question.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think someone, when talking with someone about the scriptures, do you think that type of attitude can turn people off?
Of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's a very fine line I forgot my train of thought because I still want to come where you went. But anyway, there's a point in time in a conversation when we must do more listening than speaking. And if we come across as being arrogant, you know, I know more than you, I understand the scriptures and you don't. Oh, I mean, we've almost but all lost that conversation, you know. But at the same time, we have to be confident in the things that God has said and not wavering at all. Because he said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, what? There's but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. The oneness of God. But you have religious leaders that are teaching something different. It seems as if they have a problem with the oneness of God. There being one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That there is one way that God has given for man to be saved, and yet we have all of these different variations about the plan of salvation. The only way that you can get a variation of what God has said is to either add something to it or take something away from it. And when we speak to people, when a Christian goes about evangelistic work, okay, it is of such importance that when we open our mouth, when a Christian opens his mouth, his or her mouth, about salvation, there needs to be that confidence, not arrogance, but that confidence that everything that is said in relationship to what God has written about salvation is absolutely true. It's definitive. I'm immovable. I'm not open to any discussion outside of what he said. Now, you have to be very tactful.
Willie, I have trouble listening to an egotistical or an arrogant person.
You pointing at Bonnie?
I want to turn them on. No, I'm not talking to Richard.
Oh, to Richard? Okay. Okay. So that very first step, okay, in God's plan of salvation, there's a lot of things involved in that hearing. It's not, you know, going in one ear and out the other one. I don't understand Spanish or French or German at all. And we can sit here and listen to someone speak a foreign language, and we can hear what they're saying but have no idea what they're saying. Okay? And you can bring in an interpreter, and they can interpret everything that is being said, and we still can be lost. So as it relates to salvation and the word of God, in fact, a person has to be open. And I believe someone said that. Someone has to be open to the fact that this is the holy and divine word of God. And that it was given as written in Jude 3, once and for all. There's nothing more to come. It's complete. And that this is the only way that a person is going to be saved is according to this book. And there has to be that is involved in hearing is listening, understanding, and a willingness to be obedient to what it has to say.
The good soil, not rocky, not hard, not full of thorns.
Yes. Yes, Matthew chapter 13. And I know David just finished his class. We won't go over that. But so very true. Yeah, it absolutely fits. You know? And absent those things, if a person is willing to listen but not willing to obey, then that person is going to be very difficult. Is going to have a difficult time finding their way to salvation. There has to be that element of a willingness to obey in order for a person to go further, if I can use this term, to go to the next step. Okay? If we look at God's plan of salvation and we put it in steps, and you know, the hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, if we looked at it that way, you know, if that person doesn't have a willingness to accept it as being the absolute truth, and willing to make changes in their life and do it the way that God said do it, absent that, they're not going to be able to go forward. And as an evangelist, which we all are, by the way, I got to move back. As an evangelist and teaching those things, you know, we have a golden opportunity to tell someone, this is what you need to do in order to be saved. Not just because I say it, but because this is what the Bible says. And when that person allows themselves to get out of their own way, like I had to do, I was my biggest enemy. I got in my own way. And when I allowed myself to get out of my own way, oh, great things begin to happen for me spiritually. How did I get out of my own way? I started listening. Okay. I had all the answers once before. I was never wrong, Joe.
Why is it?
Good point. Good point. Joe was saying that you not only have to say the words, you have to live the life. You have to set a good example. You know, if you're going to tell someone that you need to be here on Sunday to worship God, then you need to make sure you're here. He didn't say that. I added that in. That's the first thing that popped up there.
That's a good example.
But yeah, absolutely. Yep. So. You know, and with this thing, once a person reaches that point that they have actually have a willingness to hear the word of God, and as written in Romans chapter 10, and verse 17, that faith that is the foundation that Christianity is built upon. What is that faith built upon?
The word.
The word. Okay. Go further. What is that faith built upon? The word of God, yes.
Hearing the word.
Okay? And obeying the word. Okay? That's all tied in. That's what I wanted to get to. You know, hearing and understanding and obedience. All of that is tied in. And once you get to that point, then you have to have that faith that Jesus talks about in John chapter 8 and verse 24, which is what? Belief in what?
Belief in the truth.
There we go. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because remember later on, Jesus talks about that confession that one must make, that he is the Son of God. Now, there has to be no doubt in a person's heart whether or not that is true. Okay? And it's not for me or anyone else to make that judgment whether or not that person actually believes that. Okay? And I'm going to point this out. In here, in this book, where is it? They write that when a person confesses Jesus, he professes the maturity of his faith. The maturity of his faith. How many people agree? And I'm not pointing. I wish I wouldn't. How many people agree with that statement?
What was it again?
That when you confess Jesus as being the Son of God, You're professing the maturity of your faith.
Specify how mature.
Well, then we have to define mature.
Right. Mature.
Because when a person becomes a Christian, they're not spiritually mature. The Bible says that they're still a babe. And at that point of confession, has that person done all that God has laid out in, that they must do in order to be saved at that point? When a person stands up and says, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, are they saved yet?
Not yet.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think what the writer is saying is that you're so close that your faith that you believe in God, in His Son, in the Holy Spirit, in the Word, in heaven, in hell, all of these things, that you have come, you know, almost full circle to the point that you're ready for baptism. That's what I believe that statement means, although I disagree with the way that it's written. And that's the important thing about a lesson like this, is it brings out a lot of variables that we get involved in conversations about salvation, that it completely takes us away from the exactness that God has given us. I mean, He didn't put it in a very difficult manner that we have to struggle to understand. If we just say that this is what He said and this is what I'm going to do based upon looking at my life and holding up the Bible and saying, you know, the Bible doesn't have to change for me. I have to change for the Bible. And if a person does that and is willing to do it, then that person is headed towards salvation. Okay, hearing it alone and understanding it and deciding, just the point of deciding to change your life, that takes you in the direction of salvation. It doesn't save you.
How do you
by
know
itself.
That you're there?
How do you know that you're where? Okay, we're going to spend some time on that one. Okay. Joe asked, how do you know that you're saved? By knowing the truth. God laid it out. God said that you have to hear, you have to believe in Jesus, you have to repent, you have to make changes in your life, you have to confess Jesus, and you have to be baptized. Have all of your sins washed away. And then you will be added to the church by the Lord Himself. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Now, at what point are you saved?
When you follow those steps.
At what point do you know you're saved? When you follow those steps. Joe, at what point do you know you're saved? But you came in, right? It's like that labor, those that work 1 hour, those that work several hours, you're still working for the same denarii. We're all in this together at various points in our lives, but we're all seeking after salvation. The important thing is that you got in. But you can know for sure that you're saved by looking at your life, looking at what you did, and compare it to what God says. And I've done this in studies, and we've kind of, you know, I've put what you did, what God says, and a check mark. We put a box there. If you did this, and we can kind of check this off, check this off, check this off, check this off. I haven't been in a study yet where I've been able to check them all off. Okay, I agree with 50% of that. Well, the Bible tells you everything that is required. And I'm gonna use this example. If when you go to take your driver's test, okay, they give you a test and they tell you this is everything that is required in order for you to be able to obtain a license, and you're not going to get this license until all of these guidelines have been followed. And when you get your license, you know you followed all of those guidelines. Here are the guidelines that God said one must follow in order to be saved. Okay? And you look at your life and compare it to what God has said that must be done. And you look at those examples in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, when on the day of Pentecost, when those Jews realized who they had killed and what had been done, they wanted to know right then and there, what can I do in order to be saved? That's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know, how do I go from the beginning and come all the way to the end? I want to come full circle. and they were told what they needed to do, and how many? Several thousand decided right then and there that they were going to do everything that was told to them in order that they might be saved. They knew. They believed. They obeyed. They knew that they were saved because they believed in the scriptures, they believed in the process, and there was no doubt. This book contains no errors. There is nothing left out. Great point. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's very crucial in our attempt to follow out those instructions given to us by God in explaining away, and I caution myself and I caution you in trying to explain away the scriptures because they're really self-explanatory, but there are occasions when, you know, it's required to kind of explain certain things by giving other examples in the Bible rather than your own opinion. And that goes back to Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is what God says versus what I say. You know, because if you're not careful, we can find ourselves talking to people and people saying, well, you know something? I kind of like the way Greg, you know, conducted this lesson. And Greg, you know, I like you a lot. I'm going to come and I'm going to do this simply because you took the time out to spend with me. And I'm going to feel obligated to not let you down. So I'm going to become a Christian. What's wrong with that picture? Wrong reason. Wrong reason. And go ahead, Richard. What was being taught? Absolutely. So there is that standard that has been set. There is that map that leads to salvation that God has given us. And he says that this is the way, this is the only way. And you follow it. And you can rest assured that you're saved, that you're in the church, but there is more to it. And we haven't gotten to that. We have to kind of jump way ahead of the lesson to get to that point. But we're going to come back and talk some more about some of the things that you mentioned. I'm glad you brought that up. But now let's kind of jump ahead. We talked about hearing. We talked about faith in Jesus. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That is the ultimate thing that we're trying to do every minute of our lives. We want to be pleasing to God. And in order to do that, with regards to getting to the point that we're considered a Christian, we've got to make changes in our lives. That's called repentance. You know, it's not just a change on the outside, but it's a change by the way that we look at things. You know, a person that sees nothing wrong with sin, that person has to change that way of thinking. You know, your view of sin, if it's nothing more than a mistake that I made versus I'm letting God down, then that's a very dangerous way of looking at things, because it is that sin that is going to keep you out of heaven. And repentance, how would you explain to someone that asks you the question about repentance? What does it mean? What does it mean to repent?
To change of heart.
Change of heart.
Changing your actions according to the new.
Changing your heart, changing your actions. You know, it's a decision that I'm no longer going to walk in the way of the world, which is described as darkness, but I'm going to walk in the way of the light. David said in Psalms 119 that, you know, I'm going to make what? The lamp.
How about turning away from
that word?
Sin.
Say it again.
Turning away from your
prejudice. Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. Turning away from your sins. Is that an easy thing to do?
No.
Not always.
Sometimes.
Okay, let me ask you this. Here's that person that says, I really believe. I've heard and I really believe in God. I believe that this is His word and I am ready to make a change in my life. But I want to get everything right first. Well, wait a minute. You said it was a change in attitude. You said it was a change. So you're saying that you can become a Christian without fully changing? It's gotten quiet. Got to take a new path. Now, this issue of repentance. Okay, Jesus said in Luke 13:3 that if a person does not repent, that person will perish. Okay, but that repentance is God willing to help a person along the way continually to overcome those things that have them, and I use this loosely, stuck in the world? Is He willing to save that individual that is not completely changed, but in the process of changing? That's where I was going. Okay? Now, if there is that part of God that says, you believe in my son. You believe in me. You believe in my word. And you take those steps necessary in order for you to come out of that darkness and walk into the light. And you make that confession that you believe in my son without any doubt and have your sins forgiven by way of baptism. And I will add you to the church, and then you study. You teach others. You be benevolent. You remain faithful until the day that you die, and I will make sure that you have a crown of life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the plan of salvation in a nutshell. That's how simple God has made it. Yes, great point. She mentioned the song, Trust and Obey. Trust and obey. So here is the plan of salvation that has been given to man. And it's given in a way, I just said it in about, what, 20 seconds?
Do it again. Say it again. Just what you just said.
Just, exactly?
Yeah. No, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Say it again.
Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Well, I know what you're saying, but it's not so much that we can be confused by it unless we make changes to it from its original content. And that's the only way to misunderstand it. The only way. And when we have that opportunity to teach others about it, you know, it's just that simple. Sometimes we get caught off in doctrinal things, and that's going to be the scary part, because you kind of get caught up and then you find yourself talking about something way off the path. But if you just stick with those things, those are five things that God said. That's it. Walter? Yes. Now, this, I don't think everyone was in here, but this class tonight is just like an introductory class, how to become a Christian. But the rest of this quarter, we're going to be talking about what is the Christian life. We're going to really define it and look at those passages in the Bible that really give us some guidance, and there are different areas that we're going to look at. You know, life of faith and purity and love and suffering, all of those things that I mentioned. But I wanted to start tonight, for the benefit of those of you that weren't here when I said this in the beginning, I wanted us to start on this topic tonight, because we can't talk about the value of a Christian or, in fact, aspects of a Christian life without really defining what a Christian is and what it takes to become a Christian. And I think that it's very important that we find ourselves – in the situation where we are teaching and living the example of a Christian life. And I know, like I said, I know most of you, if not all of you, are Christians. But if you're like me, you wanna live a better life. You wanna prepare yourself to the very best possible way that you can to be prepared when that day comes, when you breathe your last, or when Christ comes back. And the only way we're gonna be sure about that, the only way we're gonna know for sure, is if we're continually doing these things that are mentioned here. And there's so many people that miss those five fundamental things that God has said in order for a person to be saved that they must do. And a lot of times, you know, you get the hearing, you get the believing, and they kind of stop. You know, John 3:16, how someone can look at John 3:16 and stop and say, well, that's it. All you need is faith is beyond me. Because if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, it's talking about a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And he mentions the fact that a person must be saved by way of what? Baptism, by way of water. You must be born of the word and born of water, born of the spirit, born of the word. So if we're really going to be serious about our salvation, we're going to have to prepare ourselves to be able to tell others about it. You know, so that's why I decided to do this class, this particular subject matter tonight. but next week, we're going to look at the value of a Christian. And we're going to really, really get in depth on some of these studies. This book, I'm just going to repeat this because we're running out of time. This book, it's a good book. I've gone through it. I don't agree with everything in there, the way that it's written, but scripturally it's sound. But I will deviate from the book, and we will spend a lot of time in the book. Okay, we'll spend a lot of time in the book and looking at these scriptures and really taking from those scriptures those things that we need to do in order to apply them to our lives and make it very practical. Because that is, you know, where we are now anyway. We're trying to get to that point where, you know, this is second nature. And there is no more important a question that can be answered than, what do I have to do in order to be saved? Or how could I get to heaven? Any variation of that question. You know, I get very excited when, you know, as I go through those steps, I have to kind of get myself calmed down when I'm having studies, because I get very excited because I know what's in store. And each and every one of us, we have that belief that this book is right. And a lot of good people believe that this book is right. But if you go back, we talked about Romans 10 and verse 17. You go back to the beginning of that chapter, and he talks about those there in Rome had a great zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. It was because of their own understanding. And that is still going on today. Was that the second bell, David? It was?
Yeah, it was a mistake. It should have been the first.
So should I keep going or be quiet? Okay. Come on in. Keep going. All right. Well, you going to give me a second bell? No. I asked for it, right?